British bed and breakfasts have a certain atmosphere about them. I've classified them into three categories. The corporate IKEA-furnished guest room, the delightful and sunny English country garden house, and the dusty, worn, tchotchke-packed cottage. The latter type of B&B are usually found on the outskirts of a little village on a farm that is at the end of a gravel road, sheltered by a canopy of dense, dark, and foreboding trees. There is always a grim, gray waif of a landlady and an old, damp cocker spaniel warming their bones by the fire. The sound of clanky, old, rusty room keys rattles down poorly wallpapered halls. The rooms are all very much the same, yet completely unique. Patchwork quilts cover creaky, old oak beds. Mismatched lamps sit on dressing tables that could use a lick of varnish. And a constant cold emits from single-paned cottage windows. It's not unpleasant. It does have a very specific type of charm. But when the lights are out and you're tucked into your borrowed bed, the quiet strikes you. No sound of cars or trains or people chatting on their way home from the pub. And as your ears adjust, you begin to hear new sounds, more ominous sounds. The creak of a willow on the grounds, the hoot of a barn owl, and the unmistakable scream of a fox. As your eyes begin to adapt to the thin moonlight pouring through the lace curtains, you can see the room take shape. You see your coat hanging on the door, the lampshade casting spooky shadows on the wall, and the glint of the brass hardware on the dressing table. And the woman staring at you from the corner of the room. And welcome to episode 13 of The West London Witch, a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. The environment you grow up in has a massive effect on the person you become. Today's storyteller, Beau, grew up in a house with a very dark history. And through this early introduction to the paranormal, she was led into a career of paranormal investigation. Beau is a registered and accredited member of the International Alliance of Paranormal Investigators and works full-time on exploring the UK and sharing her investigations on her YouTube channel, Mindset Paranormal with Beau Bentley. Today, Beau shares with us some of her most fascinating ghost stories. I'm Rebecca Strazina. And this is The West London Witch, episode 13, Mindset Paranormal.
Growing up in the family home, there were many times when unusual things would happen, or you'd think you'd see something or feel something and there wasn't anything there. And there were many times just growing up where your parents would say, oh, that's just the wind, or it's just a shadow, the usual stuff to try and settle you at night. Now, my sisters and I were always very afraid of the back portion of the house. I can't tell you why, but we were all petrified of that side of the house. If our parents wanted us to close the curtains at night, we'd have to go all the way over to these big long windows, and all you could see was this dark garden. And I hated it. I hated walking through there, especially with the lights off. And there was always just something a bit strange about that side of the house. Now, if you were to go upstairs, my parents' bedroom would be above that room from downstairs. That was the dining room. So that whole portion, downstairs and upstairs, felt horrible. If you were to go into the bathroom at the top of the stairs before you went onto the landing, you would not want to be in there at night with the light off, especially if you looked in the mirror. It always felt like there was someone there. As awful as that sounds, you couldn't wait to turn the light on. And then other times you think, I don't want to turn the light on because I'm so convinced there's something here. There was this one day when I came home, I think it must have been from school, I think maybe 14 years old, I was still quite young. And it was winter time and it was quite dark. And my parents weren't anywhere in the house. Not unusual, maybe they've gone shopping, maybe they've, I don't know, done anything else, but I was fine to be in the house by myself. As the hours went on, I was still in the house by myself. I had no idea where my sisters were. I had no idea where my parents were. At the age of 14, I was very aware of the fact it's getting darker and darker and the house is getting quieter and more eerie and I don't know where anybody is. I decide to light up the house like an absolute Christmas tree. Every light that I can find is going on. And we've got the dog there. It was an Alsatian at the time. His name was Zoltan and he was really sweet. He didn't like going down the landing at night either. He would sometimes like bark in the night and freak out, which did not help. So I'm there illuminating the entire house like Blackpool at roughly this time of year, actually. And I hear a noise and it's upstairs. So I think, maybe my sister is upstairs. Maybe I just have completely overlooked the fact that there is someone else in this house. I run upstairs, excited for the chance there's another human being that I know inside this residence. And I look everywhere and I can't seem to see that there's anyone there. So I go, all right. I'm going to go into my parents' room. Maybe my little sister's taking a nap on the big bed or anything like that. The dog starts freaking out. He starts growling. He starts being weird at the top of the stairs. And I'm thinking, right, that's a bit weird, but just look in the room, then look out. In line with my parents' door is a mirror. So as soon as you're on the landing looking into the room, all you can see is yourself and a bit of the room. As soon as I walked in, I remember looking into the room and having a bit of a shock because I thought I saw something, but I didn't. It was absolutely fine. I turned the light on, and as I turned the light on and looked towards the mirror, it looked like there was someone on the landing. I instantly, my blood runs cold and all the power in the house goes out. All of it's gone. I hear the snap and I'm there freaking out at this point. My only choice now is I run out down the landing into my room, which is at the very, very end. But now I'm just in this doorway staring down the landing where this shadowy figure was. The dog comes to greet me. He is going nuts at this point. He is crying. He is not liking it at all. And all I can think of is, where are my family? Where are they? Who is that? What is that? And every now and again, you could see just this awful shadowy figure going across the landing, but it never went to the front part of the house. The front half of the house, upstairs and downstairs, was fine. It was the back half. But at this point, I was absolutely trapped. So every now and again, I could just see a shadow moving. And I was telling myself, it's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine. It's a tree. It's anything. It could be anything. It's not anything else. And then, thankfully, I hear a knock at the door. It's my little sister. She's returned back home. But I'm still upstairs. I don't even know what time of night it is now. It was quite late on. And I have to get down the stairs to go get her. I run downstairs, open the door. There's no one at the door. And I'm sure I heard a knock when I was upstairs. And at this point, I'm all over the place. I choose to sit outside now. I choose to sit outside on the porch and wait with the dog and wait for my family to come home.
When Beau's family returns home, they are shocked to find their child sitting on the front porch in total darkness. They dismiss her claims of shadow figures and foreboding feelings and reassure her that the whole event was just a strange sequence of coincidences.
However, a few weeks later, my mum takes me to one side and asks me about the presence that I felt in the landing and what I thought I may have seen in her room and why I don't want to go in there. I say, basically, this is how it happened. This is everything I feel. These are the points in the house where I feel things. Even in her room sometimes, if I was ever sat in her bed, even during the daytime, it almost feel like I could hear someone whispering or something in the room, and they put it down to, I don't know, imaginary friends or acute madness. We'll never know. But after my mother pulls me to one side, she says, are you aware of the people that died on the property? And of course, I was shocked and instantly said, I beg your pardon? What, mother? And she went, yeah, I didn't want to tell you growing up, but when this house was built, there was some sort of, I don't know, subsidence or horrendous building accident. And when they were working on the back part of the house, four people wound up dying on the property. I was so heartbroken and shocked when I heard. And I asked my mother, do you ever feel anything at the back of the house? And she said, all the time, all the time. I remember growing up, my mum always used to say that she wasn't getting a good night's sleep. She kept being woken up in the night. She thought that she was being grabbed or whatever. My dad sleeps like a log. He'd be no use in any of these spooky situations. But my mother, however, was very acute to it. We wound up doing a bit of a sage clearing of the house because I was only young at the time, but my great grandmother apparently used to be a white witch. So my mum was teaching me some tricks from that. And we tried to rebalance the energies in the house. Since then, there have been occurrences on the back garden still with the shadowy figure and the looming person. But for now, I don't know what it was that I saw on the landing, but I can tell you it was absolutely a tall male figure. And as I looked in the mirror, they were there as clear as day. And I'll never forget it, ever.
After Beau and her mother cleansed the house, the activity seemed to alleviate. Yet the backyard, still to this day, is a very spiritually active place. Dark shadow people can be seen walking by the back windows and traipsing up and down the yard.
My sister, who is an absolute skeptic, has experienced it herself, where she thought that maybe mum or dad were walking past the window because you blatantly see someone go, even though it had a mottled glass in it. And she'd open the door and no one would be there. And I'd just be sat on the bed, smiling like a little cat, going, it's the shadow in the garden, isn't it? And she would be adamant that it was not. But however, there was this one time the shadow came back and was right in line with the panel of glass. So it looked like there was someone stood in front of the door. And I said to my sister, are you going to open that? And she just went, no, absolutely not. So even the people in my family who are trying to be skeptics, including my scientist older sister, we've all experienced things at the back of the house. There's just something about that square of land which has got some very, very heavy vibrations. It's a very scary, eerie place at night. If you're on your own, it is heavy.
The experiences in Beau's family home ignited her curiosity in the paranormal, so much so that she's made a career out of it. Beau is a registered and accredited member of the International Alliance of Paranormal Investigators and has focused her education and profession on taking a scientific approach to investigations into the unknown. But every now and then, she likes to take a break from the spooks and the specters, give herself some time to realign, reset, and rejuvenate. So a few years ago, Beau took a job working on and organizing events, just a normal job working with young, fun people traveling the country. But the thing about the paranormal is, you don't always get to decide when you're on or off duty.
I wanted a little bit of a break, and I thought, I'm going to do a normal job for a week or two just to reset my engines, and then we're going to get back into it. As we're driving around the middle of who knows where in Derbyshire, which I now know is absolutely super haunted, Derbyshire is energetic as a plane. And I was going through this beautiful scenery and all these lovely, you know, old houses thinking, we're getting further away from civilization here. I can just feel it. And I say to the girl that I'm working with, I bet you anything we're in a spooky bed and breakfast. And she was like, no. Everything doesn't always have to be spooky. I was like, okay, permitted, let's see. We turn up, that place has an absolute vibe. Yes, it does. There's suits of armor in creepy corridors. There's old sofas in the actual reception area. Mismatched, I have no idea what, just accumulated tat, which looks like it's been retrieved from somewhere quite haunted. And I think, yes, that there is a vibe here. Even if there is no ghost, they are trying to make it look at least like it has something going on. We settle in for the night and our room feels like it's miles away from anything, barely any signal for your phone, no Wi-Fi, but I'm quite happy for it. I wanted a few days away from reality for a bit. Let's go for it. So I go to bed. I'm absolutely exhausted. I think I'm going to sleep through. The girl that I'm sharing a room with has also gone to sleep. I wind up waking up in the middle of the night. It is potentially, I think it's about 3 a.m. I remember it clearly, looking at my phone afterwards. And I wake up and I see the girl that I'm sharing a room with just stood up in the room. But she's turned away from me, looking towards the window, towards the corner of the room where a wardrobe was. And you know when you have that moment of going, typical, I'm sharing the room with the mad person. Yes, absolutely. But I gave it a few seconds and I said, what are you doing? Like, what time is it? And I didn't get a response. Not the most polite, you know, thing ever. So I'm getting a bit annoyed now. Like, she's not even talking back to me and I've got to work with her for a whole week. So I grabbed my phone just to see what time it was. And I wound up going, it's 3 a.m. But as I put my phone down, I look across and my roommate is still in bed. There is someone else in my room, in our room. And then it took me back for a moment because weirdly, the first thing I thought of wasn't ghost. It was intruder. But I just looked and it felt like eternity. But within a few seconds, they suddenly started to move away towards the wardrobe and the window in the corner of the room. And just before they got through to where the wall was, it turned and made eye contact with me. When it happened, I thought, I can't wake up my roommate. I need to make sure this absolutely wasn't a dream or anything. And you know when you're laying in bed and you're reevaluating everything you've ever seen and felt, and you know you need to get to sleep, but all I could do was stare at that corner of the room just in case whatever it was came back.
The next morning, Bo was absolutely shattered. She had spent the whole night just staring at the corner of the room. She couldn't wait for breakfast, so she had an excuse to get out of the room and sit down with her roommate and tell her all about the lady in the corner.
So I go downstairs, start loading up my plate with all my veggie sausages and stuff. I'm going to have a lovely breakfast for me. I could not wait. Telling all of my, you know, friends and fellow staff, oh, you'll never guess what happened to me last night. Regale the story, and this complete stranger glides across the room to me. And she's like, what room are you in? And I was like, pardon? Hello, good morning. My name's Bo. Can I help you? And she's like, what room are you in? And I was like, why? And she went, I know this might sound weird, but I woke up in the middle of the night, literally just after 3 a.m, and it felt like someone came into the room that I was being watched. The room went cold. And then suddenly, all I could do was just be bolt upright. I could not go to sleep. It felt like I was being watched. And I was like, I wonder where your room was. Figures out her room was directly next to mine, the exact path that the spooky ghost would have taken if they did indeed go through the wall at that time.
Needless to say, although Bo had gone away for a break from the supernatural, that break had really only lasted the duration of the drive from her house to that spooky B&B in Derbyshire. But when Beau is working on an investigation, she records and films everything, hours and hours of footage that she puts together and shares on her YouTube channel, Mindset, with Beau Bentley. And on one of her most recent adventures, her team captured some truly incredible evidence.
The experience that has absolutely persuaded me that there must be some reality to it was when I went exploring recently. And at first, it was just meant to be an urban exploration. We found this old Thai restaurant. It was easy to get into. My friend from London was visiting, and I thought, this will be an easy entry-level one for my friend. You know, what an experience for her to go home with. We went in there with a spirit box and a K2 meter.
A K2 meter is a device that is both controversial and compelling. It works by measuring and detecting electromagnetic fields. EMFs are emitted from microwaves, radios, refrigerators, basically anywhere where electricity is flowing. The device looks like a remote control without any buttons, but rather 5 LED lights on the top. The lights go from dark to light green, yellow in the middle, followed by orange, and finishing off with red. Now, the theory is that the presence of spirits can be detected by the K2 meter, and it is also thought that spirits can manipulate the meter, making it flash. Spirits can then communicate with investigators by flashing once for yes or twice for no. The controversy comes in when you take into account how these devices work. Depending on the sensitivity of your device, you may not know whether the meter is reacting to a ghost or to your Wi-Fi router, your refrigerator, a light bulb, or any other household item that uses electricity. It might not be reacting to spirits, but rather to regular household appliances, technology, or even light switches. However, if you're like Beau on this particular investigation, and you're in an abandoned building with zero electricity, and the K2 meter is reacting to the environment in strange ways, and is able to intelligently answer questions, this is a very convincing and great piece of evidence for the K2 meter's ghost hunting efficacy.
And I didn't want to get the spirit box out initially because I saw no reason for it. But as soon as we walked a little bit further into the house, I could feel an energy. It's hard to explain, but you know when you get that feeling of maybe we should get the ghost equipment out. And as we go around the house, we hear people running in the top floor and doors slamming and all this sort of stuff. So we think, right, let's start it up. Let's see what we can find out. We ask how many people are there. It instantly comes back with the number 4. We ask it what happened there, and it said that something terrible happened, and one of them said flame. There was actually a fire at the property, which destroyed quite a lot of it, and some people had lost their lives way, way back in the day when it was still utilized as a house. In the information that we were getting through on this spirit box, not only did it link really, really well with the questions we were asking, it was responding quickly. And if we were saying things back and we've got it wrong, a voice on the other side would correct us and go, no. That gave me more reassurance that there was some sort of consistency there, something which it could be coincidence, of course, but how many times can a coincidence land in exactly the right place and it not mean something? When we looked back at the footage and listened to the audio back, we discovered so much more that was happening. There were so many voices coming through that we didn't hear at the time, and they were all relating to the situation we were in. They were either describing us or saying how many of us were in the room at the time, which did change as people entered and left the room, because there was 3 of us. And on the spirit box, we could hear them say how many, and then it said 3. It was almost like it was talking to itself. And then when Brody wound up leaving to go upstairs, it'd say how many, 2. From a science point of view, I'm still wanting to explore it a little bit more. I think that for you to prove that something's right, you have to get a good consistency of data with this. So only time will tell. The only problem that I've noticed with some, you know, investigators out there is a lot of the time they sometimes might edit the footage or fake it, so it looks like they're getting more content or what have you. But For them, they're not actually experiencing the real thrill of being there and then and having someone legitimately communicating with you, which is what it's meant to be made for.
And that's kind of the thing about ghost hunting. It's not an exact science, but being critical, skeptical, and methodical plays a serious role in Beau's work. Because every investigation is different, and not all problems in your home can be put down to the paranormal.
The worst case I've ever seen, in fact, it wasn't a ghost at all, but the woman's life, thankfully, was saved. My friend had a house, and it was a lovely old house that she'd just bought. And I thought, you've got an absolute steal on this. What, like, wow, how did you get this? She said, oh, I think something needs to be done with the boiler or the central heating. You know, just needs a bit of a spruce up, maybe because it's not super modern. And I thought, well, absolutely fine, brilliant. She wasn't there long before I was getting a phone call. Can I please come around with the equipment? I'm like, why? What do you think is in the house? And she said, I'm not sleeping very well. I feel absolutely terrible. I feel drained when I'm in the house. I physically feel like something's draining my energy. I just feel so weak and lethargic and horrible. I was like, oh, crikey, right, yeah, I'll come on over. I'll check it out for you, not a problem. I go over and I check the house at various times as well. I wound up spending a few days there at different times just really checking it out, and I couldn't find anything. And I love it when that happens. I love it when I can't find anything and I can say your house isn't haunted. But then I thought, well, what's the next logical step here? And I remember her mentioning the boiler or the central heating. And I said, is that a new boiler that you've got? And she said, no, the old man never replaced it before he died. And I was like, was that the person that had the house? Correct. The gentleman that used to live there before died in the house. However, it did not feel haunted at all. I asked her if she had a carbon monoxide detector in her house. She did not. She wound up, actually, it was carbon monoxide from the boiler being released into the house that was making her feel lethargic and terrible and drained. And I was just there thinking, we have absolutely dodged a bullet here. You need to get that boiler sorted. You need to get this house sorted out and put a carbon monoxide detector up, because when she did actually put one in, it was going nuts. It was absolutely going nuts. So thankfully, even though people might not class what I do as maybe like a hard science half the time, or think that it's quite a quirky career path, at the end of the day, someone's still here with us that might not have been. Imagine if lockdown happened when he's still in that house, not going outside as much. What an absolute travesty that would have been. So yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Everyone, get carbon monoxide detectors put in if you're listening. Save me a job.
It was an absolute treat to hear all about Beau's adventures. And if you'd like to follow her for more ghost stories, check her out on Instagram and YouTube at Mindset with Beau Bentley. And don't forget to head over to our Instagram account, The West London Witch, for some special photos from today's story. Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com. Or find us on Instagram and Facebook at The West London Witch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And come and follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. The West London Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Miss Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories, Thank you for sharing them with us.